Downtown Astoria has enjoyed a rebirth over the past 20 years. But downtown also has a competitor that did not exist 20 years ago, a mass of big box stores in Warrenton. That's one reason why the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association retained Michelle Reeves to examine downtown and make recommendations. My guests today are Dulcie Taylor, president of the Downtown Association, and Tiffany Estes, the association's former president. Thanks for being here today, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us about Michelle Reeves, Dulcie. What's her organization and what are her credentials?
Well, our business development committee found Michelle. She'd been doing a lot. She has her own consulting company, Sevelius Consulting, and she had done a lot of work in Hillsboro and Lake Oswego and Oregon City, and dealing directly with small towns and downtowns in particular, and giving them some recommendations on revitalizing those towns.
What is her background academically or whatever? Is she an economist or
aerospace engineering or something like that?
Right.
out of what you would expect.
My God,
she's lived around the world and traveled extensively and loves to learn, and somehow, and I'm not quite sure how, got involved in kind of city planning, consulting,
real estate development,
urban strategy kind of business.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She's a very smart person.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. In the Daily Astorian story about Reeves' presentation, our writer, quoted her saying that the city has a quote, super confusing front door, quote. What did she mean by that?
Well, Michelle compares it in her analysis so that we could easily look at our features and our environment. She compared Astoria to a store. So we have two front doors, one coming from Highway 30 and one coming from 101 across the Young's Bay Bridge. So in that quote refers to the fact that she actually put a video camera probably illegally on her steering wheel or in her car and drove with it driving down, coming into Astoria from both directions. And she said, like on Highway 30, you don't really even know where you are until you hit like 14th Street. Because there's nothing that you see the Maritime Museum and the Peacock on the right hand side and the river, but you're not quite sure that you're in Astoria yet. Mm-hmm. And the same thing occurs coming from 101 around the roundabout, which she loves but thinks is still confusing for people that aren't used to roundabouts. And then coming into Uniontown, they might think, "Am I supposed to go straight? Am I supposed to go over that cool bridge? And so we need to do some."
I can actually kind of validate that. My first trip to Astoria as a visitor many, many years ago, I was driving into town through Uniontown, and it was raining and gray, and I thought that was it. I thought that was town. So we thought, okay, well, I'm not sure what's going on here.
I've been to Astoria.
We turned around and left. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we really missed out. We didn't see, nearly all that there was to see here.
So her recommendations is that we look at ways that people get into Astoria and how they are, how we present Astoria before you even get into downtown. I mean, her evaluations or her recommendations, her findings were about all of Astoria, not just downtown.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. But what sort of thing would you conceivably do to announce that you're in the town?
Right. Well, some of her recommendations, like for Marine Drive, is somehow tying the Maritime Museum to the sidewalk more. Besides the peacock, maybe having trees. She recommended trees, even trees coming on the interway down to Marine Drive and into town. And I think one of her recommendations that she gave at the presentation was some kind of like ships in a bottle in the sidewalk that maybe pulled people to say, even pedestrians to say, hey, this is cool. I'm going to continue on and see what's down the way a little further.
She also suggested even something a little bit different. There's some tall building faces that you encounter when you're coming in on Marine Drive.
Three of them, yeah.
That could be utilized for some sort of signage or artwork or wayfinding or some sort of a marker that lets you know you've arrived. You know, this is where all the action is. And right now those are brown, beige, blank building faces. Yeah.
Beige, not her favorite color.
Right.
What's interesting is if you see Astoria from across the river, it's quite clear where it is.
Sure.
You know, it's a well-defined profile.
So I don't think there. She examined coming across the bridge heading from Washington to Astoria.
Yeah. But in many ways, it's one of the most stunning views.
Yeah, indeed.
And of course, the other thing is that if you're ever out on the water in a boat, the town makes an enormous sense, because it's a river town.
Sure, but most of how many people do you think have been out on the river on a boat?
No, all I'm saying is that its origins were as a river town, and,
sure.
And that's how you got here. And
I was so lucky enough to see it from the river with a ride on the bar pilot's boat.
Yeah.
It's pretty dang cool.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. If you just joined us, this is After Deadline. I'm talking with Astoria Downtown Association President Dulcie Taylor and former association president Tiffany Estes.
Actually, Tiffany's the vice president again.
Okay. Little news there. All right. Well, back to Michelle Reeves, the consultant. She said also that a small downtown acts like a single store, making the point that Astoria's downtown is, in a way, like a shopping center. But in many ways, downtown doesn't behave like a shopping center because shopping centers typically have common closing hours and unified marketing.
Sure.
Is there any thought to responding to what she said about that in those ways?
It's a challenge to have people keep the same hours and stay open late. I mean, we have tried to get businesses to stay open, you know, people that work downtown are shoppers downtown. So if you close at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock and people get off at 5 o'clock, then you're not going to get those businesses. And then that makes it more difficult for people that do stay open later to encourage shoppers to come downtown. Even visitors. I mean, there's a lot of people staying downtown, and I see them walk by my store. I stay open a little later. But everyone else is closed, so there's no vibrancy in the nighttime, evening.
Yeah.
I think where we have seen some success along those lines, though, is on a smaller scale with what Michelle refers to as nodes. And one that seems to be continuously successful is 11th Street, where you have the coffee house, you have the Colombian just down at the end of the street, the theater, the tattoo shop. All of these are kind of symbiotic businesses. So a client of one business would be a likely client for an adjacent business. Mm-hmm. And they work together really well. And that's something they've done on their own that's been successful. We'd like to expand that. But as Dulcie said, it's kind of difficult when you're working with a lot of independent business owners.
Yeah.
That is a model. 11th Street is kind of a model that we look at for a cluster, an economic cluster, to be successful. 14th Street, we're kind of looking at that with the 14th Street Coffee and Vintage Hardware, and there's a new sandwich shop down there, and there's the fish and chips place, and I think that's a great model for success.
And she mentioned, and it's been said before, that our downtown has kind of an unusually large footprint, so it's even more challenging to get that cohesiveness to work. Mm-hmm. But the question was asked at the presentation about, you know, do you kind of jump around to different areas? And she said, whatever is working, if you can build out from there.
Sure.
So maybe we start focusing on those nodes that are activated already. The Fort George Vintage Hardware area is one that's pretty active. And if you can take those that are already working and just build, and eventually they would grow together, and you'd have a large string of activity.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
The other part about the kind of acting, downtown acting as a mall, is that she identified a certain area of downtown that seems to have buildings that are full of businesses and activity and stuff, and those... those clusters are what the proximity of the buildings. I mean, it's all, it looks, it's kind of the model that places like, what's that shopping mall we went to? Different shopping malls tried to look like old downtowns, like our downtown,
oh, yeah,
the proximity of our buildings and
sure,
sidewalks and all that stuff. So, kind of exactly what Tiffany's saying is building on that.
Yeah. Well, Astoria is it's a real place. It's not a made-up place,
right,
which is what shopping centers are,
right,
of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting how many neighborhoods, if you will, want to call them that, there are within downtown. We're sitting here in the Daley Stern building, and we're part of one up here with the library and the bank, and then it bleeds into sort of the government.
Right.
The city on one side and the county on the other. There's not much retail over here.
Right.
And there's one coffee shop, but it's quite a distinct, and I was surprised to learn from the architectural historian John Gutenberger that all three of these buildings, the U.S. Bank, the library, and our building, the Astorians, were built about the same period of time, and there was a conscious attempt to make them part of a sort of a unified whole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
you can see that. I never really thought about it that way. But
yeah. Even if you, I wonder about the Labor Temple building because that wasn't always a...
It was earlier.
Right. Oh, sure. But still, I mean, building, they probably built up from there, right?
Well, U.S. Bank is where the Astorian used to be, and it was a former laundry, Troy Laundry. That's what it was. And it was right across the street from the Labor Temple.
Hmm.
And... where we're sitting in the Astorian was houses.
Oh.
And there was a church here as well.
They tore down a church?
Well, something happened. Something happened. That's all I know.
Fire?
Yeah. Well, what... there was a big turnout for Michelle Reeves' presentation. Is that evidence of a growing awareness among downtown merchants?
Well, I hope so. I mean, there weren't only merchants. There were citizens. There were property owners, business owners, people from... different entities outside Astoria, Clatsop County officials, Pacific Power officials. I mean, there were a lot, people from Craft 3. There were a lot of people interested in what Michelle had to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what, that was our kind of our goal, is to get some, you know, motion going.
Right. I think people are seeing a real concerted effort in the partners that are involved, that something, if anything's going to happen, now's the time that something could happen. And there's an excitement about it. And I think I was really happy to hear even a couple of business owners that I talked to within a day or two after the presentation said, oh yeah, I just ordered some display stands to put merchandise out on the sidewalks. And that made me feel good.
Yeah.
They, you know, they walked out of that presentation and actually did something immediately.
Absolutely.
That's encouraging.
And that's kind of the brilliance of Michelle's presentation, is that there are little things that merchants could do downtown, or business or property owners could do to their buildings to, you know, some buildings haven't had a fresh coat of paint for many, many years. So so there are small things that people can do, and then we, you know, there's larger, more challenging projects to do.
Yes, indeed. Well, what is the Downtown Association's agenda in the wake of Reeves' recommendations? You've had a board meeting, I think, since then.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. We just got her full report yesterday, and it's about
86
pages.
Yeah.
Wow.
What we're going to do is have the entire board read that report before next Tuesday, when we'll have our retreat with Sherry Stewart, who's the state Main Street coordinator, and try to start... identifying some priorities. And I think from what we've heard from some of the more outspoken people in the community is that, you know, there's some long-term effort that's involved in this, but there are also some short-term wins that we could implement fairly easily. And if we can do some of that so that people continue to see progress and effort, we'll continue to have their support and their involvement. I think as long as people are seeing movement and, you know, forward motion, they'll stay on board with this and keep, you know, chipping away at it.
What would be an example of a short-term win?
Paint.
Paint, sure.
That's a big one, and a lot of the examples Michelle gave about activating the sidewalks, you know, mm-hmm. that's really up to individual business owners mm-hmm. To do that. And weather plays a role, but it's a relatively small thing to do.
And actually that's a city policy of not having items on the sidewalk. Mm. So that might be one of the things that we ask the city to help us with, is to modify that sure. City policy mm-hmm. so that merchants and vendors can have items on their sidewalks without worrying that they're going to be ticketed or fined or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. If you've just joined us, this is After Deadline. I'm talking with Astoria Downtown Association President Dulcie Taylor and Vice President Tiffany Estes. Well, Reeves' meeting was well attended, and I gather that recent Downtown Association meetings have been well attended. In the parlance of marketing, the Downtown Association seems to be gaining traction.
Yes.
Yes.
it's always good to get our good deeds out there, and Michelle and her credibility has really been positive for us. I think our challenge now is just to tear our report apart and see where we can partner with people and move forward. I have, just like Tiffany, you know, we talk to people all the time, and someone had remarked that, you know, back in the 90s, a report like this had been done, but nothing happened to it, and that's typically what happens is that a report happens mm-hmm. and energy is high and then nothing happens and then energy wanes, and we're going to try not to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think part of what's kind of made this keep going is that as people gain trust in the organization and see that there's regularity in what's happening mm. and there's some strategy going on, that they'll join in. And so it's really a credit to all the volunteers that are getting involved and are filling our various committees and finding out what everyone's different interests are in downtown and plugging mm. them in the right spaces. A lot of them are really excited about what's happening and how they can contribute to changes happening. So I think that's mm-hmm. that's a huge mm-hmm. part of it, because it can't be done just by a board of directors. There's only nine
sure.
of us.
And well, there's been a very significant shift, it seems to me, in your dues. People are paying your dues
mm-hmm.
because back in the 90s, I remember the attempt to create a district that would levy mm-hmm. in dues, and it didn't work.
Right.
And when we kind of started this last resurgence a few years ago, I think the board kind of took a position of, we need to demonstrate something if we want people to buy in, both with their time and their money.
Yeah.
And so that's when we started the first, you know, cleanup day. It's when we started efforts to raise money for the RARE program participation, to have a dedicated person on board with mm-hmm. us. Because that, we felt like that was the best investment to show people what could happen if we had that support. And
right.
and I think it's working.
And we also had our membership, our board, and our volunteers do things like park cars. I mean, we weren't going to go out and ask for, we weren't going to ask you for money if you couldn't see that we were actually trying to make money and raise money too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think that was a positive start to where we are today.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited that we're in a spot right now where we're considering you know, the hire of a permanent director.
Yes. So it makes a big difference.
And that's where we started 3 years ago, because we could see that you would have these cycles of very you know, dedicated and energetic people involved, but they didn't have the support to keep them going. And
yeah.
we knew the only way to end that cycle would be to get back to a staffing situation.
Right.
And I think we're almost there.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, back to Michelle Reeves' presentation. You've mentioned to me that one can see the entire video of it on the website. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
what is the website?
Well, it's astoriadowntown.com.
Okay, that's easy.
It is.
Yeah.
The entire video from start to finish. Sherry Stewart came from the Oregon Main Street mm-hmm. and did a presentation about the capacity assessment that she did I have some blather on there. Susan Tribuco did mm-hmm. some introducing and some mm-hmm. background on the organization. And then, but the majority of it is Michelle giving her presentation and her analogy of downtown as a Astoria as a store.
So we've talked about, Astoria as a store, and we've talked about the entrance thing, and we've talked about the beige thing. Tell us, let's talk a little more about what the beige thing is.
Well,
beige is not a color.
Beige is not a color. It was like the first thing that Michelle ever said to us when we talked to her on the phone or had our first event with her, is that beige is not a color. She thinks that a 3 or 4 color scheme, mm-hmm. I mean, tastefully done, not, you know, we're not going to go throw some purple and green and orange on a building or anything, but tastefully done. She has a lot of examples. Gimry's in Hillsboro was an example that she gave in the presentation and in a report about how to take a historic building and do some, you know, just some slight improvements, removing an awning, paint, giving it some highlight colors. And
lighting was a big piece of her presentation too. Yeah. Like, what does your downtown look like at night?
Sure.
Because that's going to draw visitors to come back the next day if they can, like, if they feel safe, if they feel comfortable, if they are curious about what they can see through the windows at night, if they're drawn to those kind of things.
Well, and speaking of that, of course, parts of downtown, notably Commercial Street between, 10th and 12th, has just changed dramatically.
Right.
You know, in the past 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. People feel welcome there, whereas before it was a little spooky.
And safe.
Yeah, and safe as well. And we've had an explosion of restaurants in the meantime as well.
That was one of the big word cloud. We did in our last event before the final recommendations, we had a bunch of people. I think we had 70 people at the event, and we broke into groups of 4 or 6 people. And Michelle had like 14 questions for us to answer, and she created these word clouds out of them, particular to the question that she asked. And one of them was, what is, I can't remember the question, but the answer was, the biggest thing on there was foodie. That's what people are drawn to Astoria, because we have great food.
Yeah.
Arts, food, creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Historic.
Town. Yeah.
Big.
Precisely. Yeah. Well, speaking of the long term, there have been two larger vacancies on Commercial Street, the Stevens Fine Clothing location and the Joann Fabrics location. Is there progress in either of those in filling them?
Indeed. The Joann's space has been broken up into – that's one of Michelle's – another one of Michelle's points is that our buildings downtown are too large to house a single business anymore. So the Joann's building was broken into 3 different spaces,
mm-hmm.
and all of those are occupied. And then the Stevens Fine Clothing, word on the street is that they're going to split that space too, and they have a potential tenant for one side of it.
One side of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's very encouraging.
Yeah.
And then downtown's, of course, abiding challenge is the empty block owned by the Favelle family, now Mary Louise Favelle of Portland. Does the city of Astoria have new plans for using the derelict building ordinance to make something happen in that block?
I can't really speak for the city.
Sure.
I know that it's ongoing.
You do talk to them, though.
Yeah, sure.
A little bit. They're already, I believe, in the process of applying the ordinance to those cases. But, you know, in fairness from a legal standpoint, but unfortunately for us who've been looking at it for a long time, there are periods of time that you have to wait before you can move on to the next step.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that process is in motion.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little time.
Well, in the world of theater, if you don't have an audience, you don't have a show. And if you put out a newspaper, you don't have readers, you don't have a newspaper. And I suppose the same thing sort of applies to downtown. If the people who live in the town don't come to the downtown and shop there, the downtown dwindles.
Indeed. We know that tourists, a lot of people say we've become a tourist town, but that's only some of the year. So really our goal And the goal of, reported by Michelle and remarked by many people during our meetings, is that if the people that live in Astoria do not shop in Astoria, then Astoria will fail to survive, because we cannot, it's a symbiotic relationship with the locals and the downtown. And it's not just the downtown as a shopping place. It's an arts place. It's a shopping. It's a
meeting
eating.
Place.
It's dining. It's theater. It's mm-hmm. all those things. And all the things that the people, the locals appreciate from downtown will fail if they're not supported by, if Astoria is not supported by, and downtown in particular, which is the hub of Astoria, is not supported by locals, then we become a ghost town.
Right.
I don't know that we'd become a ghost town,
no.
but...
We'd definitely be healthier with year-round business.
Right.
Meaning the locals who are shopping when the sun's not out and the rain is falling.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, locals are used to all those rain mm-hmm. things and wind things.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
But I know I've talked to a lot of people that come into my store that come in... I'm Old Town Frame is like a destination business, right? People come with a particular thing.
To get something done.
Not typically browse or anything, mm-hmm. just to get something done. So when I talk to those people, they will say, what's going on in downtown? And, of course, I will go off on all the things that are going on downtown. They're like, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, how often do you come downtown? And they're like, well, we don't go downtown anymore. We don't come downtown except to get our hair done and do some framing. I'm like, well, you really need to walk around, because we have got some really cool things going on down here,
yeah.
things that you may not have seen in the last 5 or 10 years since the last time you came browsing
downtown.
It's
like downtown. You need guided tours for the locals.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was something that came in Sherry's, the Main Street Coordinator's assessment of our organization, too, is that we do need to make a concerted effort to market ourselves to the locals.
Yeah.
Because we're not necessarily doing that.
And the other part of that is that and Michelle called and talked to a lot of people, and Sherry called and talked to a lot of people, just independent from anything the ADH, I mean, part of the report and all that. But and one of the things that Sherry reported to us is that a lot of people she talked to said they are doing a great job, and they are doing this, and they are doing that. And really what we want it to be is, we are proud of our town, and mm-hmm. we are doing a great job.
Yeah.
So we need to make it more of a we and not a they.
Mm-hmm. That they have ownership of it also and are involved
yeah.
to the extent that they're able to
yeah.
participate.
Well, the late social organizer, the community organizer, Saul Alinsky, used to say that old images don't die, they have to be shattered.
Yeah.
You talk about race, but
sure.
the same thing applies to an outmoded image of mm-hmm. a downtown that's
right.
on the skids,
mm-hmm.
which Astoria is not.
Right. Some people say, oh, it's dirty and it's unsafe and it's unfriendly and whatever, and I totally disagree with all those things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a very outworn image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Decades old. Well, this has been a great pleasure. Always fun to talk to you, too. And my guests have been Dulcie Taylor, President of the Downtown Association, and Tiffany Estes, Vice President of the Downtown Association. This is After Deadline. I'm Steve Forrester, your host. We're a joint production of Coast Community Radio and The Daily Astorian, and our sound engineer is Richard Ridway.